Morning. Today's daf in Moikatan, daf Tez Zayin, we're on Tez Vav Amud Beis. We're towards the top of the Amud on Tez Vav Amud Beis, and the topic of discussion has been Avol Niduin and Metzora. Regarding these three halachas, we are going to be discussing what is related to them, what is not related to them. The Gemara speaks about just short of a dozen topics in terms of various halachas that apply to them. Rechitza, Kibbutz, Tashmish Amita, Malacha. So all these halachas that could apply to all three of them. For each one of these topics the Gemara presents, does it apply to this, does it apply to this, does it apply to this? And sometimes the Gemara is poshet, sometimes the Gemara resolves, and sometimes the Gemara is not poshet. The Gemara does not resolve. So we're on the top of Tez Vav Amud Beis, and we are continuing now in the discussion of the Gemara. We're towards the very top. Aval asur ba'asiyas malacha. Aval is forbidden from engaging in asiyas malacha. You remember the last thing that we discussed was kfiyas amita. Kfiyas amita, I mentioned yesterday, one of the things that is not done nowadays, bismanenu, even though the Gemara speaks about a couple of halachas of avelos that was instituted for the aval, but for various reasons which, quite frankly, we're not even that clear about, but for various reasons, they're not observed nowadays. One of them we mentioned yesterday was atifas harosh. Atifas harosh, which basically means that you take the talus and not only do you put it on your head, but you put it overhead. You actually cover your face all the way down to your mouth. So that's one halacha which we don't do nowadays. And the other one was kfiyas amita. That's where we ended off the daf yesterday. Kfiyas amita, we take your bed and you turn your bed upside down. So that we don't do as well. That's another niyug that we don't do nowadays. The general reason that's given, although I feel that there's just not one explanation, but the general reason that's given is that these are things which make ourselves vulnerable to a lot of mockery, meaning that we do things that look really, really strange and it's too unusual, it's too conspicuous, and it results in mockery and not Kiddush Hashem, but just the opposite, Chilul Hashem. So they're not practiced nowadays. I don't feel like, even as I'm saying it, I feel like there's more than just one explanation. I feel like, there's a number of reasons that go into it, and it's not just one. And okay, we are now moving on. Aval asur b'asiyas malacha. Aval is not allowed to engage in malacha. I mean, we saw that already from the beginning of the parak. We saw that already from the beginning of the second parak. But the Gemara here cites the source. How do I know that? Dechsiv afachti chagechem la'aval. So I will turn your chag into avelos. That's the pasuk in Amos. Now, obviously, the pasuk is not an uplifting pasuk. It's forecasting doom and destruction. But there are two halachic concepts that are mentioned in this pasuk. Ma chag asur b'malacha, aval asur b'malacha. So just like by chag, what's the nature of chag? Is that you have to stop working. That's the whole idea of chag. So too by avelos, there's an isur malacha as well. Menuda mahu b'asiyas malacha. What about a menuda? Okay, that's number two. The person who was excommunicated. Amar Rav Yosef Tashma Kesha Amru. So when they said that there was going to be an Issur Malacha, that's only by Yom, that's only during the daytime, but not at night. And you're going to find the same thing by Menuda and by Avelos, my Lava Kulu. Now, ostensibly we're talking about everything, including Asiyas Malacha, Lo Ashara. So the Gemara says not necessarily. Maybe it's only going on the other halachas that were mentioned previously in the Braisa, meaning, as Rashi points out, Atifas Arosh, we talked about Atifas Arosh, which applies to Menuda, it applies to Metzora, but it does not talking about every halacha, and there's no absolute proof that an Issur Malacha would apply to a Menuda. Tashma Menuda Shona V'Shona Lo Niskav Niskaron Lo. We already saw this Braisa yesterday, and that is learning with the person who is excommunicated. And the Braisa said, we saw this yesterday, that if somebody is excommunicated, so he can hire somebody to learn with him, and if he is a Rebbe, so then you can even hire him out. So it's Mamina. So the Gemara says, okay, so you see that he can be employed, gainfully employed. Mitzorah Ma'u Basiyas Malacha Teiku. And then the Gemara goes to number three. What about a Mitzorah? Is he allowed to work? So the take of the Gemara leaves that question unresolved. It'd have to be very lonely work. Meaning the Mitzorah, one of the definitions of Mitzorah is that he's also excommunicated. He's chutz machane. Okay, but still, right? Employment can be done even in private. So Gemara says take. We don't know. We have no definitive proof one way or another. Aval asur b'rechitza. We're up to now bathing. An aval cannot bathe during his avelos. Don't apply oil to yourselves. Remember this pasuk? We saw this yesterday. This is in Shmuel Beis. This was the wise woman that was sent by Yoav to David to try to create some sort of peace accord between David and Avshalom. David and Avshalom, great father, son. So they had a terrible rift, and it ends tragically. And so Yoav tried to have this woman go to David and pretend that she was a mourner, right? Basically to try to communicate to David, like, this could be you. So, and one of the things he tells her, Yoav tells this woman, is, "Al tasochi shem," don't put oil on yourself. So, v'rechitza bechlal sicha. And we know that when we say sicha, including sicha in the smearing of oil, is rechitza, is bathing, they're both going to be prohibited activities for the aval. Mendun gamal berechitza, what if you are excommunicated? Are you also usher? Can you not bathe? Amar Rav Yosef, tashmakish amar asa berechitza, lo amar ala kol gufa aval. Panav yadav raglav, motor v'chinata motze, b'menuda uva aval. And when they said there's an issur rechitza, that's only on the entire body. But if you want to wash, if the aval wants to wash his hands, feet, face, that he may do. And the same thing is true regarding a menuda and aval. So, okay, so the so what do you see, my lava kulu? So again, it sounds like the person who is excommunicated is also not allowed to bathe. Lo ashara, and the Gemara again says no, that maybe the comparison over here is not going on every halacha mentioned in the Braisa, maybe only on some of the halachas mentioned in the Braisa. So the Gemara does not resolve whether someone who is excommunicated can or cannot bathe. Mitzora ma'u berechitza teku. And what about the mitzora? The Gemara leaves that off also unresolved. Aval also ben ilas sandal. Okay, next halacha. The next halacha is wearing leather shoes, and aval cannot. So we go back to the pasuk in Yecheskel. I told you, often we're going to go back to the pasuk in Yecheskel. Because the pasuk in Yecheskel, because Baruch Hu tells Yecheskel, you're not going to behave like an aval, meaning the aval has the usual nihugim, and you are not behave that way. And one of the things that Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Yecheskel is you're going to be wearing leather shoes. So that means that generally an aval is not allowed to wear leather shoes. Mechlal dukulei amalser. Good. So we have a source for an aval. Menuda ma'u benila sasando. What about an aval? What about a menuda? Someone who's excommunicated. I'm Rav Yosef Tashmakish Amru Asa benila sasando. Lo amru ela bi'ir aval v'derech muter. So once again, we go back to the Mishnah. It's a Tosefta from Tanis. And on Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to wear leather shoes, but you're traveling, you're walking, so you can wear leather shoes. And once again, this Tosefta in Tanis says, you know what it's just like? It's just like someone who's excommunicated. It's just like someone who's an aval. Now again, the simple pshat over there is that if someone's excommunicated, he generally is not allowed to wear leather shoes unless he's traveling. That's the simple pshat of the braisa. So, my lava kula la sha'ara. And again, the Gemara says no. Maybe there is a comparison, but not vis-a-vis that particular halacha. They're generally comparable, but not in regard to that halacha, meaning we don't have a definitive proof. Mitzara mahu benila sasando teiku. And at this point in time, I think we're getting used to it. Mitzara, for a lot of these halachas, we just don't know. The Gemara does not have a source one way or another, unresolved. Aval asr b'tashmi shemitah, an aval cannot engage in marital relations. Dechsiv v'yinachim David bat sheva, ishto v'yavo alaham. David was an aval, David lost a son. Kadosh Baruch Hu told him he would. So David lost a son. He was an avelus during the period of avelus, and then afterwards, then he resumed marital relations with Bathsheba. So the clear indication, the Gemara spells it out, Mechlal demi kara aser. So that means that during his avelus, he was not allowed to have marital relations because an aval is prohibited from marital relations. Menuda ma'u de betashmi shemitah. What about someone who is excommunicated? So Amar Rav Yosef Tashma kolosam shanim shai Yisrael b'mid by menudin hayu v'shim shemitoseim. So Rav Yosef offers a proof, and that is, we had children in the desert. Meaning, we know we had children in the desert. We had to. Meaning, part of the klala was that this generation is going to die, and the next generation is going to go into Eretz Yisrael. So we had children in the desert. So there was marital relations in the desert. And we also know that we were excommunicated. Meaning, the reason why we were in the desert for 40 years is because we were excommunicated from Kadosh Baruch Hu. So you see that someone who's excommunicated is allowed to have marital relations. Amar Le Abaye, V'dilma Menudel Shamayim Shani. So Abaye says, Menudel Shamayim. Well, yes, we were excommunicated. But that wasn't because we upset a court or we upset a Rav. That was because HaKadosh Baruch Hu excommunicated us. And so maybe that's different. So the Gemara says, kill, v'amar chamir. So the Gemara says, well, that's interesting. Meaning, Abaye is making a distinction that because in the desert we were excommunicated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not from a person, so therefore we could be more makel. More makel? Earlier, Abaye made the argument that excommunication from God results in a chumrah, not a kula. And over here, you want to argue that we're going to be makel, and that generally an excommunicated person cannot have marital relations, but when it's from God, oh, then you can. Right? Well, that's, it seems to be arbitrary in terms of which way you're going in this argument. So the Gemara says, "Sefuke masafkalei zilhacha kamatkalei v'zilhacha kamatkalei." The Gemara says, "Abai doesn't know," meaning you can make an argument either way. Kadosh Baruch Hu's chayrim could either be more chamor or it could be more kal. It could be either one. And all Abai is saying is it's different. It's not the same. So all Abai is saying is you cannot bring a definitive proof from the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu excommunicated. The halachas could be different. Mitzorah ma'u b'tashma shemitah. What about a mitzorah? Can a mitzorah engage in tashma shemitah? Now, if you remember, it wasn't that long ago in the Masechta we had this discussion about whether a mitzorah can engage in tashma shemitah. According to Rashi, was right. Remember the Rashi? Rashi says that when he's in the sequestered period, he cannot have relations with his wife. When he's definitively diagnosed with saras, he can have relations, and during Yemei Sfira, and when he's counting his 7 days of Tahara, then he can't have relations. That's the way Rashi set it up earlier in our Masechta. Tashma detayim v'yishim mechutza alo shehekim menuda ka'ava v'asubat tashma shamita v'eino alo ela ishto shenem alechem alem shuv alechem lo alechem. So he sits outside of his tent. And outside of his tent, a tent is the reference to his wife. And just like a menuda and just like an avel, he's going to be prohibited from tashma shamita. Shma mina. Okay, so the Gemara says good. Conclusive proof that a mitzora cannot engage in tashma shemitah with his wife. V'nisha namel menuda. So the Gemara says, what about a menuda? In other words, in this brisa that we just read, it said, you know what it's like? It's like menuda. It's like someone is excommunicated. So earlier, right? Remember, the order is always avelus, menuda, and mitzora. And by menuda, what do we say? We don't know. We do know. The brisa says it. I'm Rav Huna, Breder of Pinchas, Mishmei Rav Yos, Mikitani Sha'asr, Shiyehei Kemenuda Ka'ava. No, again, read the brisa carefully. The brisa does not say all the Isurim that apply by one apply by another. It just simply says, he's like a Menuda, he's like an Ava. Meaning, generally, it's a fair comparison. You can take a Ava, a Mitzora, a Menuda, and you could generally compare the three. And it could also be that all the halachas are not the same. An aval is not allowed to have tashma shemitah, but a menuda may. So the Gemara says if you read the brisa carefully, you don't have to conclude that all the halachas are the same for all three. Aval eino mishaleach karban nosaf. Sending a karban. So when you're in an aval, you cannot send a karban. Detanya Rabbi Shimon Amar Shlamim Bezman Shehem Shalem V'lo Bezman Shehem Ishu Onen. The name of a carbon is shlamim. Now, granted, there are other types of carbonos as well. Shlamim is not the only type of carbon. There's an olan, etc., etc. But just from the name itself, when you bring a shlamim, you have to be shlamim. You have to be whole. And when you lose a loved one, and you lose one of the seven relatives, you're not whole. You're broken. So you are, by definition of the name of the carbon, you can't bring it. So you're not shlamim. You're owning. So menuda ma'ushi yoshalach karban osaf. So okay, what about someone who's excommunicated? Can he send a karban? Amar Rav Yosef Tashma calls him shanim shayisol b'midbar menudin hayu v'shachu karban osayim. So once again, we're going to offer an argument based on the Jews in the desert. 40 years in the desert, they brought karbanos. There was a mishkan. They brought karbanos. They were excommunicated by God. Okay, so so someone who's excommunicated can bring a karban. Amalei abaye v'dama menuda shamayim shanei. So again, abaye throws this into the argument. He's done so now. If I'm not mistaken, this is the third time he's throwing this into the argument. So, menuda l'shamayim, what do you mean? Excommunicated by God. Maybe that's different. So, dekil kilva, amar chamir sveik, chamir. And again, the Gemara just wonders. Which way are you arguing when you say being excommunicated from God is different? Are you saying it's more mekel? Are you saying it's more machmir? You want to decide? So, sifukim esafkelei. So the Gemara says, no, exactly. Abai didn't know. So, umadchilei. And so therefore, he just simply says, look, it's just different. I know it's different. Is it more chomer? Is it more kal? I'm not sure, but it's different.
Menuda is also not shalem.
He's also not shalem, meaning with one person. He's not shalem. Yeah, correct. Correct. But in other words, he's a broken human being. Mitzor maushi shalech karbonosav. What about a mitzora? So the Gemara says, Tashma, Detanya v'acharei taraso. Achar prishaso menamei shevas yamim yisperu lo. Elu zan yamei sfiro. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yecheskel. So we don't have a pasuk in Chumash, in the Torah, that speaks to this idea of whether mitzora can send his karban, but if we read the pasuk in Yecheskel, and darshan them. And so let me start again. V'acharei taraso, after he becomes tar, the subject over here is the kohen. Right? Yecheskel speaks to the kohanim. Yecheskel does a lot of that, speaking to the kohanim, and one of the reasons why is because he himself is a kohen. So v'acharei taraso, after he becomes tar, acher prishaso v'nameis, shivas yamin. So and he comes into contact with the dead, and he needs tahara. And that's a seven-day process, including, of course, paraduma. So yisparu lo, elu zayin yamei sfira. And then when he talks about accounting, it's the 7 days of counting. Over yom, and 7 days of counting, ostensibly, is talking about mitzras. That's when you have to count. Over yom ba'u kodesh al-chatzer p'nimis l'sharis b'kodesh yakriv chataso. And then he's going to bring a chatas. What do we mean when we say he's going to bring a chatas? Zu asiris ha'efa shalo. This is the tenth of an efa. This is the minchas chinuch. I mean that here literally. The offering, the inaugural offering of a kohen. When he first does the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, he has to first bring an inaugural carbon, and that's what's called a Siris HaEifa. Div Rav Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. What do you see? You see that while he was a Metzora, he couldn't send a carbon. Only after his Saras can he send a carbon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon has a different source. He's not going to disagree, just has a different source. Bevo Yakriv Bezman Sharai Labia, Rai La Krava. Bezman Shein Rai Labia, Ein Rai La Krava. He can't go into the Beis HaMikdash. He's a Metzora. And by virtue of the fact that he can't go into the Beis HaMikdash, he can also be Makriv as well. Period. Ad Kan. Okay, that really ends the discussion in the Gemara. Not much of a discussion. More just a question of what the sources are. Where do we know that an Aval, a Menuda, and a Metzora are all going to be subject to various halachas going all the way back to Daf Yudalin, where we started this discussion of which halachas are subject to. Some of the time the Gemara had a source, some of the time the Gemara was unclear, and some of the time the Gemara just simply says teku, meaning it's just simply we have no basis for whatsoever. Okay, we're starting now. We're on the top of Tazayin Amud Aleph. We are four lines from the top of the Amud, starting with the words Amarava, and now this is the Gemara that talks about excommunication. Okay, excommunication was a form of basically correction, motivation. It helps people stay in line. The court obviously needs to be listened to, needs to be heeded to, and so therefore there was a system, there was a process in which the court was able to levy some sort of power and authority so that the people would listen to the courts. And one of the formulas of control of asserting their power, their authority, is this idea of excommunication. And so over the course of today's daf, right? Today's daf is daf Tet Zayin. So we're going to go through a process, a system of excommunication. As we will see over the course of this morning, there are different levels of excommunication. There's just a little slap on the wrist, if you will. I'm, you know, giving modern terminology. You'll see it's called nazifa. There is a more serious excommunication that's nidui, that's being placed in a more intense form of excommunication. And then the multiple offender, the person who really is not listening to Beis Din on repeated occasions, so he's placed in a cherem, which is even a more serious form of excommunication. So we have basically three levels, nazifa, nidui, and cherem. And the Gemara now is going to speak in detail, in great detail, regarding all these different types of excommunications. And again, the whole purpose over here, the general purpose is to help the courts, meaning so that the courts have authority, so that they can issue, so that they can assist in litigation. Now, you can't have litigation if no one's listening to the court. I mean, not the time for any type of political statements or contemporary statements. But if you look around nowadays, right, the court, generally speaking, Beis Dins are sometimes seeked, but rarely do they have any type of authority or power. Right, they make a statement, they issue a ruling, and you know the short amount of experience I've had on this earth, you know, some people listen and some people don't. But so the whole purpose over here is so that to help give teeth to the Beis Din so that they can adjudicate and people will listen to them. Amar Rava. So we start with the Gemara. We're on the top of the Amud. I'm Tetzayin Amud Aleph. Minalan de Mishadrina Shlicha. De Beidina Umizanen Leiladina. So it's what we would call subpoena. Meaning, how do we know that Beis Din issues an invitation to come to court? Right? Invitation, not the kind you really want, but how do we know this? So Dechsiva Yishlach Moshe Lekor L'Dasal L'Avirim B'nei Eliyav. So we have a... We have a situation in the Torah where Dasa and Avira were subpoenaed. They were invited to come see Moshe. In other words, they were litigants, and their litigation actually was against Aaron, and maybe you want to include Moshe as the other litigant as well. But okay, so he told them, okay, time to come to court. Now, how do we know that this invitation has to be clear? Meaning, not just come to so and so, but Dina, meaning that you are being subpoenaed to go to court. So he says, you Korach and all the people that are with you. And how do we know that it has to be done in front of a great person? Meaning that when you subpoena them to court, you don't just simply say, hey, come to court, but you actually identify who's going to be presiding over the court. So when Moshe subpoenas Dasan Vavir, and he says Lifnei Hashem, okay, Gavaraba, meaning in here the words Gavaraba, I mean, you know, we just obviously that's it, meaning that you don't get bigger. At Upanaya Dechsev. Now, when issuing a subpoena, you have to identify the parties involved. You have to actually name them. Ata Vehem. I'm sorry. Lifnei Hashem At Upanaya. And now, I'm sorry, not only do you mention the invitation is going to who, but who else is going to be there at the point of litigation. Meaning, when issuing a subpoena, you don't just simply say, hey, come to court, right? We need to speak to you. But you explain to them that there are other litigants, and you tell them who the other litigants are. Okay. So, when Moshe issued the subpoena to Dasan Vaaviram, he told them that Aaron's going to be there as well, and he's the other litigant, and that information has to be told at the point of invitation. The kavi'inan zimna. It's not enough just simply to be told to go to court, but a date. The subpoena is going to issue a date in which you're going to present yourself in front of court. Dechsev machar. And again, you go back to the pasuk by Moshe, Dasan Vaaviram, and it says machar. Okay, so happens to be that the date is tomorrow, but a date has to be issued in the subpoena. Zimna basar zimna. And how do I know that you're going to issue multiple subpoenas? I mean, you'd rather only issue one and he come. But how do I know that multiple dates are issued? Dichtiv karusham paro melech mitzrayim sha'on hevir amoed. Okay, multiple times paro was paro, by the way, we're going historically to a much later time. We're in Yirmiyahu. So this is the end of Bais Rishon. So Paro over here was subpoenaed to go to court. I don't know the context, I didn't look it up. But subpoenaed to go to court. And he apparently skipped it multiple times. Now, let's say the court agent goes over to the person in question, to the litigant, and says, you need to come to court. And the litigant does not have the best words for the court agent, the court-appointed agent. And basically, he insults him, he really reprimands him, he treats him really poorly. And now the court agent has to go back to the court, and what does he have to say now? He has to say what happened. Now the court-appointed agent, is he in violation of Lashon Hara? That's the Gemara's next question. How do I know lo mischazek kelishna bisha? How do we know that that's not Lashon Hara? Dechsev, Aynei Anashim Ahem Tinakir? Because when they went to Dasan Vavir and they said, you know, Moshe said that you're subpoenaed to come to court and you got to come tomorrow, and Moshe heard what they responded. Now, Moshe didn't hear it directly. How did Moshe get the news? The agent told him. The court-appointed agent told Moshe that this is what they said. So if Moshe is ready to listen to this, it obviously means it's not Lashon Hara. Uminalan Deshamtinan. So now, he issued a subpoena, the court-appointed agent went over to the person, said, forget about it, I'm not coming, and you know what you could do with that subpoena. So how do I know? Uminalan Deshamtina. So now, at this point in time, how do we know that Basin has the power to excommunicate? Dechsev Oroz Meroz. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Shoftim. Perek Hay, Devorah Barak. So they were trying to put together an army, and they asked people to come. Certain people did not, and so Oru Meroz. The word Oru, like curse, like Arur. So Meroz is going to be cursed, meaning that they issued a form of excommunication. The Hachisvar de Gavarabam. I'm sorry. Oru Meiros. Da achi sarva de gaviraba dechsev amor malach Hashem. And once again, it has to be that the insolence comes to a great person, because it says amor malach Hashem. Uminan de mecharimam. Now, how do I know that not only do you put somebody in nidui, in a type of excommunication, but you go one step further, and that's chayrim. And again, the chayrim is for the multiple, for the repeat offender. Oru aror, the double language, it means you're cursed, you're surely cursed. Meaning that if there's multiple offenses, and multiple times they just simply rejected the subpoena, the invitation, so not only is it nidui, but it's also going to be chayrim as well. How do I know that? I know the Gemara doesn't say it in the negative, but basically, eating together with this person who was excommunicated, being within four amos of the person being excommunicated, how do I know that that's wrong? I know the Gemara doesn't say it that way, but how do we know that that's wrong? So it says Yosheveha, meaning that they sit by themselves and they cannot engage in any type of social conduct with others during the period of excommunication. And how do I know that we detail to the public what exactly is going on? Meaning that person excommunicated and it's explained with detail. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk. He didn't come to Ezra Hashem. He didn't come to the court. Meaning we issued a subpoena. We issued an invitation. He didn't come. He rejected it. That's why he's in excommunication, and that's spelled out to everyone. V'amar ula. V'dame yeshipur shamte barak l'miroz. And then, as long as we're talking about this pasuk and shoftim, perikei, so with 400 shofar, barak excommunicated miroz. So, ika da'amre gavaraba hava, v'ika da'amre kochava hava. Now, exactly who miroz is, so the Gemara says, either gavaraba, either he's a great person, or kochav, or he's a star. Now, star over here meaning like constellation star. Now, okay, that the first one, it makes this whole discussion easy to understand. The second interpretation makes this whole discussion difficult to understand, because then we're not talking about a person now, we're talking about a constellation, we're talking about a mazel, and then what happened to this whole discussion of excommunicate him, and we're not talking about a person anymore. Okay, that admittedly, that makes the second interpretation doesn't really fit into the whole discussion we just had. And we know that because not only did we wage war against Sisera, but the stars helped as well. Right? The stars helped in the war. And furthermore, so this person now, rejecting a subpoena to court, and being insolent, and rebuking the court-appointed agent. So how do we know now that Beis Din also has the power to basically seize assets? So dechsiv v'chashal leyavol shashiyamim ba'atzat sasarim v'azikenim yecharam kol rechusho v'hu yibadam mikal agola. Ezra, and say for Ezra, so Ezra issued a decree that everyone has to come and within the next 3 days, and don't bring your non-Jewish wives. Not only don't bring them, but divorce them. Right? We discussed this many times. Ezra was dealing with a lot of Jewish men married to non-Jewish women. Remember, they came back from Babel after 70 years of exile. So a lot of the Jews who came back were coming back with non-Jewish wives. So Ezra admonishes, and not only does Ezra admonish, but you come here without your wife, and furthermore, you don't come here, so then I will release you from all your assets. Right? So Ezra had the power to seize assets. Or to make them ownerless, meaning you're no longer the owner of your assets. This is a rule that we refer to as Hefker Beis Din Hefker. Comes up a number of times in the Gemara. Came up in Gittin. Will come up in Gittin. I think we're closer in the future than we were in the past. Okay, the Hefker Beis Din Hefker. Uminalan de natsinan velaitinan umachinan v'talshinan sayar umashbiinan. Okay, a lot of verbs over here. How do I know that Beis Din not only has the authority to remove his possessions from him, but Natsinan to quarrel with him, Laitinan to curse him? Right, this is all Beis Din's authority and power. Like I said back in the introduction, meaning all this is basically to give teeth to Beis Din, so that Beis Din will be listened to. So Natsinan quarrel, Laitinan curse, Machinan, probably hit him, Talshin on Seah. Pull out his hair. Okay, I'm aware that this is intense. Umash be'inan. And make oaths against them. Dechsev. Va'ariv imam va'akalem va'akemehem. Anashim va'amartem va'ashbi'ehem. So the Gemara quotes pasuk from Nehemiah, speaking to this idea of I'll I'm going to argue with them, I'll curse them, I'll hit them. And Amartem Mirut means to pull out hair, and Ashbiyim, and I'll make a shvu against them. Okay, so once again, Beis Din has this kind of authority in order so that they're listened to. Minan de Kaftinan, Vasrin Vadin Hardafa. And how do we know that we can bind them up, tie them up? And we could do hardafa to them, which we'll explain just momentarily what that means. Dechsev, hein lamos, hein l'sharusha, hein le'enosh nechasin ul'asurin. Right, so they could be bound up. And sharshuri, what does that mean? That's the Gemara's question. Sharushi, amar adam, mari, amar nechemia, barbaruch, amar ravchia, baravin, amar ravihuda, hardafa. Oh, that's a reference to hardafa, which only begs the question, what is that? So my hardafa, Amar Yehuda, Berei Derav Shmo, Bar Shila, Mishmei Derav, Minadin La'alter, Vishona La'achalamin, Umacharimim La'achar Shishim. So, a person shows insolence to the Beis Din, or to the court-appointed Beis Din. So what you do is, you immediately put him in Cherem, you immediately put him in Nidui, right, the milder form of excommunication, 30 days and he's still not going to listen, you again put him in Nidui, and then 60 days later, so now this is the third time he's not listening, so then you put him in Cherem. Cherem is a more intense form of excommunication. We already learned yesterday, just to remind each other, what we learned yesterday, that in Nidui, so you can still hire a Rebbe, learn with somebody, you can, as we just saw in today's daf, we could seek employment. Once you're in Cherem, so then you are really on your own.
There's another stage between...
There's an earlier stage called Nazifa.
No.
Or there's a slap on the wrist, which is called Nazifa, which we're going to discuss later this morning.
No, between
Nidui and Cherem?
It's Nidui, it's Cherem.
Between Cherem and
Nidui,
there's
another... I don't know. Right. Shamtam. Okay. Interesting. I don't know. I know. Right. It comes up. It comes up in the Gemara, but it's not coming up here in today's discussion. Okay. Okay. That's right. That's what Ben's saying also. Okay. Could be. Amalei Rav Huna Bar Chinana Hachiam Rav Chista Masrin Bay Sheni V'Chamisha V'Sheni. So you warn him on Monday, Thursday, Monday are public days. So that's why you warn him on those days. Hani Mili LaMamona. And this is true if it is litigation over a monetary issue. Ava la'af karuse la'alter. Now the warning is only if it's monetary, but if it's hefkeres, hefkeres over here means that he acted with insubordination towards the Beis Din, towards the Rav, towards the court-appointed agent. If he acts with chutzpah, so then la'alter immediately. And then the Gemara follows up with a number of incidents, anecdotes, that gives us a picture of what this would look like. Ha'utabacha, di ispaker, beravtuvi bar masna. So there was a butcher, and he acted very rebelliously towards Ravtuvi. Imnu ala abai v'rava v'shamtuul. And then Abai and Rava immediately put him in cherem, l'sof azo paisal abaldine. And then there was an appeasement that was created between the butcher and the Rav. Amar Abai, hech le'avi. So Abai says here, we're in a little bit of a dilemma, a little bit of a bind. Meaning that we put him in excommunication. And the excommunication period is a 30-day period. And now there was an accord made between the two litigants. They made up. And so now, what do we do? So, what's the question? Meaning, why is that even an issue? Good, can't you just simply say, right, we're all friends now? We're all good? So, lishrelei lo chal shamta le tasin yoma. So to just simply permit it, that's not going to be work, because again, this nidui is a process. Now, by the way, the Gemara here refers to a shamta. Just from the simple reading of the Gemara, shamta nidui sounds more or less the same. Okay, maybe there's a distinction, but
according to Miri, is a generic term, could be either.
Yeah. Okay. Good. I didn't see the Miri, but sounds correct. He doesn't need my approbation. So the Shamta Allah Talsin Yomim, so 30 days. So on one hand, we can't just simply lift him from his ban, meaning we banned him. That's a 30-day ban. So on the other hand, now over here it gets a little tricky in terms of what the correct reading of the Gemara is. Now I say tricky because the way we have it is the rabbis need to go in. Meaning, he's a butcher. Okay, if we're going to ban him for 30 days, so that means 30 days that no one's allowed to buy meat. Okay, and the reason for the ban no longer is in effect because they made up. So the simple reading of the Gemara is, we need him. In other words, we need the butcher, we need the meat. That's a simple reading of the Gemara, that's how we have it. If you look at the Gaon has a different reading of the Gemara, not Lemeal, but Lemezal. Okay, and that one word difference means, it's a totally different meaning. It means, on the other hand, we all need to go. Meaning, they got together to create the ban, and on the other hand, if we don't lift the ban, we're all going to go our separate ways, then who's going to lift the ban? So, that's the Gaon's reading of the Gemara. Either way, Amalei l'Ravidi Bahavin, Midi Shmielach Baha. So they turned to Ravidi Bahavin and they asked him, what do you know? Meaning, we placed a shamta on the butcher. Can we now, and generally speaking, it's 30 days. Can we lift it earlier? Amalei hach, Amar av tachlifa, Barvi Amar Shmuel. So he says, he goes, he has a teaching, a learning, that he goes all the way back to Shmuel, and he says, Tudas Rav, Tud Sharei. And the answer is yes. Yes, the shofar put him in the excommunication, tut asar, the tut sharei. And the shofar is also going to be the one that's going to release him from the ban as well. So, you can release him early. Amalei, sounds the simple pshat on the Gemara is it sounds like the shofar was blasted. Now, the shofar was blasted because, remember, we discussed this in the Gemara earlier. There's also going to be a public announcement made to everybody, this person did X, Y, and Z, and so the shofar is kind of like the beginning of the announcement. But that's only true if the issue is a monetary issue. But if it's insubordination, if it's chutzpah, so then talsin yom, and then it has to go throughout the 30 days. Now the Gemara says, interesting, Abai must be of the opinion that if three people put somebody in cherem, it has to be specifically those three people who release them from Chayim, and it cannot be three others. Basically, it's a Beis Din. And to which the Gemara says, Ibailahu. And the Gemara says, and that's not so obvious to others. Meaning, Abaye clearly feels that way. But the Gemara says, but we have a question. Hani Beit Talsa. The Shamisu. Ma'u Lemesi Talsa Echrin of Asharalei. So is it that a Chayim can be placed by one group and be lifted by another? Or does it have to be the same group who placed the person in Chayim? It's the same basin who releases them from basin. Tashma. So the Gemara says, on this we're going to discuss. Now again, before we start the discussion, Abai thought it was Pashut. Abai thought it was obvious. It has to be the same group. But the Gemara now is going to have a discussion. Tashma. Menu de la Rav. Menu de la Talmud. If somebody is excommunicated from the Rav, so including that excommunication from the Rav is also going to be students as well. Menu de la Talmud and Menu de la Rav. But if you're excommunicated from a Talmud, meaning you were insolent, you were insubordinate to a particular student, so, and you are excommunicated as a result of that, that doesn't automatically impact the Rav. Menu de l'iro, menu de l'iro cheres. Menu de l'iro cheres and menu de l'iro. If you have an excommunication to your own city, so that's it. Meaning you are excommunicated and that includes all of the cities as well. If you have an excommunication from another city, that only affects you and the other city, doesn't affect your own city. Menu de l'anasi, menu de l'chol Yisrael. If your nidui comes as a result of your insubordination to the nasi, so he is a representative of the entire Jewish people. So you are excommunicated from all the Jewish people. But menudel chayisah and menudel anasi. But just because you are nidui for one or more than one person from the Jewish people, that doesn't automatically mean that you're menudel anasi. Shimon Gamliel Omer Echa min atamidim shenida umeis chelko eino mufar. If you have one of the students who places him in cherem and he dies, chelko, his portion, it does not just simply dissipate. Meaning that when I have a member of Beis Din who was involved in placing somebody in a shamta, in a cherem, in a type of excommunication, and he dies, so that's it now. Meaning it's the simple reading of the Gemara is he's locked. Meaning because that person who had the ability to lift the ban is no longer alive. Shema min atras. The Gemara says three things that we learn from this. It's called a brisa. Okay, to Tosefta, Okay, I don't know. But it's called a braisa. Shema mina talmid shenida lechvodo niduya niduya, meaning a student who felt slighted. So a student can impose can be the cause of an imposition of a cherem. Shema mina kol acha ve'acha mefer chalko. Everyone can be made for his portion. And it has to be specifically the three people who put him in cherem. It's only those three people that can lift the person from a cherem. So now, even though we just read a brisa and we just concluded that the only way a person can be lifted by the ban is by the same people who put him in the ban, but the Gemara points out that's not the halacha. The halacha is three people can put him in, and another three can take him out. What about the brisa we just read? So my love ain't mufar klal. So the Gemara says, well, ad asu beitas achrin of a sharolei. Ainu mufar means that in the current state of this basin, the way the basin was constructed, meaning the basin was made up of three, Rachman al-Salam, one of them died. So now, in this current state, the two remaining ones can't just simply say, you know, we're going to lift you from the ban, and you know, as for the third person, we'll speak on his behalf. No, you don't have the right to speak on his behalf. But what you can do is you can get another basin of three in order to lift him from the ban. That's all the brisa means. And so therefore, the Gemara's conclusion is that if three put a person in a ban, you can have another three releasing him from the ban. Tanu Rabbanan. We're towards the bottom of Tazana Med Aleph, continuing, Ein Nidui Pachus Melamed Yom, Ein Zifa Pachus Mezayin Yamin. Okay, Nidui, no less than 30 days, and Zifa, no less than 7 days. Again, Zifa is like a slap on the wrist, meaning it's a milder form of excommunication. And where do we have Nazifa? We have it by Miriam. Miriam, who spoke Lashon Hara about her brother, about Moshe, and about his personal affair. So,
she got Sarat, though. I mean, that's like a...
True. And Tikalem. She was also literally imprisoned for 7 days. So that's like a form of Nazifa. It's a form of, that's like being censored. So Amr of Chista Nidui Shalana Kenizifa Shalahed. Or Nizifa Didu Shiva. So our Nidui is like their Nizifa. Our, theirs, what is he talking about? So he's talking about, I heard you saw in Bavel. So our Nidui, meaning the B'nai Bavel, those of us living in Bavel, are like what Nizifa would be in Eretz Yisrael, which means that it's going to be seven days. So the Gemara says, is that true? By Rabbi Shimon, by Rabbi Bar Kapara, Habayas Vekargar say. The Gemara tells us a story about Rabbi Shimon, the son of Rabbi, and Bar Kapara. They were learning together, Kashlu Shmaita. And they got to a point of learning where they were really stuck. Amalei Rabbi Shimon Bar Kapara Davazet Sarach Rabbi. So Rabbi Shimon says to Bar Kapara, you know, we really need a Rabbi at this point in time. Meaning we got to a point of learning, we're really stuck, we really need a Rabbi. So Amalei Bar Kapara, Rabbi Shimon, my Rabbi Omer Bedavar. And what's Rebbe, meaning Rebbe Yehuda Anasi, who, by the way, he happens right now to be speaking to his son. What's Rebbe Yehuda Anasi going to say about this? Meaning, this is such a difficult question. Meaning, even Rebbe's not going to be able to help us out right now. So, Bar Kapara spoke with chutzpah about Rebbe and to the son of Rebbe. Azam alei lavua. So Rebbe Shimon goes now and tells his father. Now, I know, we can all ask the question, Lashon Hara, isn't this Lashon Hara? So, Chafetz Chaim, right, in a sefer. So he speaks out, a lot of Gemaras, speaks about this one specifically, in terms of how to understand this in the context of Lashon Hara. So, Ikbid. So Rebbe, of course, was offended, meaning, and again, the offense of Rebbe, let's assume, I wholeheartedly believe this, that it wasn't a personal offense, meaning, what does he care? Right, he was an anav, he was a very humble person. What does he care about? In other words, Kavanah Torah, right? He's a representative of Torah, and it's just not right. Not right that someone should say, you know, Rebbe can't answer this. No, Rebbe can't answer it. So also Bar Kapara leizchazilei. So Bar Kapara goes now to see Rebbe, try to make up with Rebbe. Amalei Bar Kapara ain't a makircha. So Rebbe says to him, I don't recognize you, right? And obviously that's code for I'm not so happy with you. So, and at that point in time, Bar Kapara realizes that he offended, that he slighted Rebbe. Talsin Yuma. So he acted as if he were a Nazifa. He imposed it upon himself, self-imposed, but he did so for 30 days. Okay, now, question is on the table. Nazifa 7 days, not 30 days. So that's the question on the table, and we're going to answer the question, but before we do so, one more story. Rabbi made a gzera that there's not going to be learning done in the public. Learning is going to be done privately, not publicly. My darshan, and why? Pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Chamukei Yerachech, Kamo Chalayim, right? The thigh of a woman. The Pesukim in Shir Hashirim obviously are understood metaphorically. My Yerach Beseser, the thigh of the woman is concealed. It's not revealed. Av Divrei Torah Beseser, Divrei Torah as well is done Beseser. It's done privately. No public demonstration of Torah, but it's taught privately. Yasser Rabbi Chiya v'shanu l'shnei b'nei achiv v'shuk. And meanwhile, Rabbi Chiya taught his two nephews in the market, Rav and Rabba Bar Barchana, the two nephews of Rabbi Chiya, right? That family relationship we see time and again throughout the Gemara, that Rabbi Chiya was the uncle of Rav. Shama Rabbi Ikbed, Rabbi said, what, I understand, I just issued a decree that no one's allowed to teach Torah publicly, and meanwhile, Rabbi Chiya is teaching his nephews in public. So Ikbed Asra Rabbi Chiya leads Chazei Lei. So Rabbi Chiya goes over to Rabbi for an attempt of appeasement. Amar Lei Ayei Mikor Lei Bechutz. So he says to him, Ayei, right? That was his nickname, meaning Chiya. The Ches and the Ayin are interchangeable. They're both guttural letters. I know I don't sound that way, but the Ayin is supposed to be a guttural letter. So, he says, what you were teaching in the public? So Yada Naka Melsa Bedati Nagni Zufusa Benafeshe Talsin Yoman. So now Rabbi Chiya understood, I offended Rabbi, I went against his decree, and for 30 days he conducted himself in a Zifa. Abiyam Talsin Shachle Tahadr Shachle Delo Lesi Mikara Mai Sever Livasov Mai Sever Mikara Sever Mixasiyam Kikulo. Now on day 30, so he had a thought of maybe I should come back. Now originally he thought, Mixasiyam Kikulo. Look, it's day 30, but I observed part of day 30, like I'm good now, right? I can go back. But then Savalo, I'm going to mix it to Yom Kikulo. But then afterwards he realized, no, not in this context. In this context, we don't say mix it to Yom Kikulo. Lesof also Amalei Amai Asis. Amai Asis. Amalei Deshachli Mar Delesi. What do you mean? You asked me to come. Vashachlach Delotesi. And what do you mean? I sent you a letter not to come. Amalei Zerisi Vizelorisi. So he says, I'm sorry, so one and not the other. Kari Ler, Bertsos Hashem Darke Ishkam Oivav Yishlimoto. Maitama Avin Marhachi. Amalei Dichsiv Chachmos Bechutz Tarono. So he says, well, I taught in public because I have another pasuk. And my pasuk indicates that Torah should be taught outside. Im karit lo shanit, im shanit lo shalish. So Rebbe says to him, you got to learn a little bit more. Meaning, okay, you have a pasuk, but you don't know the pasuk well. Im shalish lo pirsh lo chachmos b'chutz tarona kedrava damarava kol osik b'tor b'fnim taraso machrezes alav mi b'chutz. You learn privately, Torah will announce you publicly. But in other words, it's not that the Torah should be taught publicly, your reputation will go public. Now, yes, it's true that on occasion Torah is taught publicly, but the Gemara refers to that as Yuma Kala. Yuma Kala, right, there were certain days a year where Torah was taught publicly, but generally it should be taught privately. Rabbi Chiya, hai chamuki rechech ma'avilei mukilei b'tzedako gemilas chasadim. As far as Rabbi Chiya, what did he think about the pasuk in Shir Hashirim that says the Torah should be taught privately? No, he thought that wasn't a reference to Torah, it was a reference to Tzedaka and Gemilas Chasadim. Now let's finish up. Alma Nizifa Didu Tlas Yomen. So the Gemara says now, Nizifa we thought was 7 days, and meanwhile we have two incidents in the Gemara where Nizifa was 30 days. So the Gemara's answer is, you probably saw this answer coming, Nizifa Nasi Shani. That was a Nizifa because there was insolence towards the Nasi. Generally speaking, the generic Nazifa is 7 days. In this case, it's going to be 30 days.